Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The doctor is in. This is Wretched Radio. One Gregory Giffert, PhD from Masters University, also the host of Transform, the TV show and podcast, which I've been urging you to start downloading and listening to and benefiting from, happens to be with us in studio. Greg, you're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
You know, it's been an easy day of fun, calm work with you, Todd.
Welcome to Wretched. We were just over in the TV studio, did 4 TV episodes. You did an episode of Transformed, and you did a bunch of stand-ups. And we've got a dinner meeting. You're young, you whippersnapper.
The Lord, of course.
Keep up, would you? I got to tell you, face-to-face, your Transformed podcast, it is the bomb diggity. Absolutely.
Thank you for your kind words.
One of the finest podcasts out there. And I say that confidently, having never listened to any other podcast from anybody ever. But I am still persuaded yours is the best. You are a biblical counselor. You teach it at the Masters University in, California. It used to be a part of America. California? Is that how you say it?
It's the Republic of California.
Exactly. That is right. Even your logo looks like a little, it could be a little Soviet-y. You're teaching biblical counseling there. Right now, you've got an undergrad, graduate, and a doctoral program That's in right. biblical counseling. There can't possibly be that much to learn. Go ahead and hit that ball right off that tee.
So one addition is online as well. So we do in-person, online, and modular.
You know what? Okay, I just did the commercial. That's not what I was asking
I'm continuing.
For. I wanted, it went into the woods. It was a slice deluxe. It was sort of like Jordan Spieth on the third day of any tournament. You just shanked it is what you did. I'm talking about the depth of biblical counseling. Is there, seriously? Is there that much to be learned you could get a doctorate?
At each level, you grow in your proficiency. So initially, you're just kind of figuring out where the mountains are, and then you're actually becoming an expert in the mountains as you progress. So is there that much to learn? Yes, if you're including not only the practice, but also the theory side. Yes, absolutely.
All right. You are going to help us today. And when I say us, I'm talking about myself. I need some help. And so you are going to walk me through a biblical counseling session, and we're going to identify what it is that you're doing, right? Yep. So day one.
Yep. Day one, we meet.
No.
Oh, you're still going.
Right. This is going to be a role play. Hi. No, you're supposed to be the biblical counselor.
Sorry,
I'm kind of the sheepish counselee. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm here, aren't I?
Yes, you are. Thank you for taking the time to meet with me. I know that's not always easy to do.
Ah, so you're being sympathetic, are you? Empathetic. Which one is it? Were you kind of walking along, so you're relating to my distress a bit.
Yeah, probably more empathetic, hopefully, but yes.
Okay.
Passionate.
And the point of that would be what?
Well, first of all, I want to honor the Lord in the way I treat you, but to gain a relationship with you in which you trust me.
Yeah, that's kind of important, because if you just download a bunch of data, it doesn't relate. So you start out by building a relationship. And then is it a series of questions that all end with, and how does that make you feel?
No, we'll also rotate and tell me about your father. No, but do see that question asking is an important part of us learning who you are.
All right.
So we want to ask questions that pertain to the reason why you're coming for counseling.
You know what I think was the best part of Instruments in the Hands of the Redeemer book by Paul Tripp? I get the two mustaches confused all the time. Mm-hmm. Was his section on question asking.
Right.
Do you recall that?
The no section, the love, no speak, do. I think it's the no section, K-N-O-W.
Ah, there. Because I'm like, what? What are you talking about, Willis? Yeah, that you ask questions that actually bring it out. So for it, you know, I come in. I'm a little sad. What sort of questions would you use to start to open me up? And I'm asking this not just for a primer on biblical counseling, but with my kids, with my spouse, who's maybe appearing a little bit blue. How can I be the bucket that goes down into the well of their heart and pulls things that are helpful up?
You have to grow in your ability to ask questions, and not close-ended questions, but open-ended questions that are doing exactly what you just described, which is drawing out what is happening in the inner person. Those open-ended questions are going to be, what's going on? Can you help me understand what's happening? What are you thinking about? In your perspective, is this taking place? Okay, yes. Now help me understand what that looks like. And just getting into that habit of open-ended questions to draw out. And if a person is unwilling to answer questions, that's a separate conversation. But most people, that's why they're coming to a biblical counselor. They want some help. So you're just trying to prime them a little bit. For family, especially family that's open to us asking questions, kids in this case, yeah, we're getting into that habit of saying, yeah, tell me more about that, or help me understand what you mean by that. Mm-hmm. How does that look personally?
See, that's really hard for me because I know the solution immediately. So I have to be a little bit patient. Okay, wait a second though. We're talking teenagers here, and you know what you're going to hear. Whatever. I'm fine. Dad, just let it be. How do I, maybe I can't do anything to break that down. What do I need to do so that I can have entrance to actually ask important questions that get answered?
It's funny because there are people that are just inherently difficult to communicate with. And sometimes, this is not true for all teenagers, but there are some teenagers that communication is not their number one game. So it seems like you almost have to have a willingness to communicate at all times. And as soon as they offer a crack, a little entry gate is the way Paul Tripp describes it, then you now have to move into that gate whenever it's open to you. And most of the time it's after 9 o'clock at night. It seems like it's...
What is... I know he says that, and I've heard that before. What kind of zodiac voodoo are you prescribing here?
This willingness to listen at late hours of the night, that prescription?
Yeah. What is it about the evening that opens up a kid?
You know, I wonder that as well. And I wonder why my mind is shutting down about the time.
I know.
My son's mind is starting to. I think, Lord, give me wisdom and grace to.
Yeah, the kitchen conversations, that can happen. Food doesn't hurt. But if my child is just constantly blocking me, wouldn't that be a sign I probably have some other things that need to be worked on?
Yeah, so you're...
You need to talk into the microphone.
Are you new to this?
You do a podcast.
I'm dancing. All right. Yes, you would see this as, okay, I am not going to have an intimate, in-depth conversation with my teen if we have zero other communication in our life. So to your point, is there a breakdown in our relationship? Well, yes, there is a breakdown. If we can't talk about basic things, then what makes me think that I can go into the deep end of the pool in this conversation? So how can we cultivate on-ramps for general communication, mutually enjoyable times, sports, hobbies, things like that, so that we can actually move to the deep end when necessary, and then also move back and not stay in the deep end all the time and completely tax each other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking about homework, for instance. You got any homework? No, I'm all done. You're sure you're done? Yep. Okay. Wait a second. You could go deeper to know what the homework was, how they feel about the homework. Just cultivating communication on a different level, because you're right. You can't just dive into the deep end of emotions.
But that's true in every relationship when you think of it that way. What friend do you have that you only talk about very, very deep things with and you have no other common interests?
That's easy. Jimmy.
Absolutely.
I feel the same way, Jimmy.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm coming into your counseling session. Sorry, we just went down a rabbit hole for a moment, but I come into your counseling session. You're going to develop a relationship with me. You're going to ask questions. Most of the biblical counseling cases, do you use that word? Cases?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Cases are sin issues versus just needing some wise counsel issues.
Or one other category of, depends on how you want to split sin. Is it sin or suffering? So it's not always that this person is sinning. Sometimes a person's being sinned against in that way.
Right.
And then other times, like you've mentioned, it's just general counsel from God's word. There's not necessarily a repentance issue. It's that you have to get someone maybe a little bit more skilled than you in God's word to connect the dots for wisdom on what to do next.
Yeah. So it's a kind of a combo platter, because we have a tendency to think counseling, oh, it must be some sort of mental or emotional issue. And it certainly can be, but it can just be untangling a ball of twine called life.
Right.
And needing an outside perspective.
Right. And many times I'm even seeing generational differences. Our younger generations are the kind that go to counseling for seemingly less sin, problem-oriented stuff. They just kind of want help or want to reflect on things with God's word. And an older generation would actually wait till there's a crisis before you reach out.
There's a different attitude about our emotions, isn't there? Dr. Greg Gifford, he is the host of Transformed, both the TV show and the podcast. I plead with you, start downloading that podcast. Dude, you got over like 5,000 subs on your podcast. It's growing.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah. Good. Little more enthusiasm. That's it. That's the Greg Gifford whoop-de-doo that I just heard there. We will be back with the sublime Greg Gifford next on Wretched Radio.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed,
but trust God and rely on His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All the way from Savannah, ask me how I know. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Greg Gifford, host of Transform the TV show and the amazing podcast. You're from Sarasota, Santa Monica. Where exactly are you from?
The one and only Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, that's what I've heard you say on your podcast. You know what? It's kind of become like a non-drinking game here because we wouldn't do that.
Of course.
Will Greg mention his hometown is Savannah this week?
Okay. Well, you know what? You I'm must not telling like you guys your, any more personal
you
details.
You must like Savannah a lot, but you live in California. You know, we could use guys like you over on this coast. I'm just saying, not that I'm gnashing my teeth or anything. Dr. Gifford, I was pondering what should we discuss? Because there are so many biblical counseling issues that we can dive into. But Jimmy, I think, has provided us the perfect subject matter. Needy people. What was it that you said during the break, handsome?
I just thanked you guys, appreciated the credit that you gave me for the podcast. I worked really hard on it.
All right, if there's a needy person in my life, what might be the cause of that?
I don't know anyone personally that is needy. However, I would say that ultimately, neediness is driven by an over-dependency on people. And yes, as we break that down, as we've talked about on the show, on the podcast, neediness from people typically is stemming from fear of man.
Okay. On behalf of Jimmy, because if he doesn't speak up for himself, Jimmy,
yes,
because I know you're needy, I'm gonna jump in and defend you here.
I depend on you a lot, Todd.
Maybe it's a relational issue. Like Jimmy's been working really hard. I haven't recognized his sacrifice and his efforts and his faithfulness. Maybe I'm the problem. Is that a possibility?
Yes, absolutely.
But it's not in this case.
Oh, in a hypothetical situation.
Yes,
of course. But
right.
You guys obviously know.
It's Jimmy. That's the issue. Okay, so you said it's a fear of man problem?
Think of neediness in a relationship as, I need you to approve of me, affirm me, to make me okay.
Mm.
That's neediness. In the end, whatever you want to call it, text me back, call me back, invite me out, reciprocate gifts, but I need you to affirm me in order for me to be okay.
Okay, that's a little bit hard to swallow. Now, let me try this again, because for instance, children, like even young kids, like a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, who just wants mommy's attention because she's always on her cell phone. I mean, hypothetically.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean they're being sinfully needy, does it?
Right. And we could say that we desire respect, or we desire appreciation, or we desire kind words from individuals. But in the end, what makes us okay is not that from individuals, it's that from the Lord.
We okay.
want the affirmation of the Lord. So as that child progresses, and if mom never reciprocates, or she's absent-minded, or she's always working, or whatever it is, in the end, what would we counsel that young student to do to find their ultimate approval and affirmation in God through Christ?
But that has to be cultivated, and that takes a lot of work. And that maybe takes a long time to do that. If I'm a needy person, what would be my prognosis? How long is this going to take before I stop needing the praises of men?
Well, if you're looking for victory, and if you're measuring this by have you been healed of it, I think you are going to be disappointed, because it's most likely going to be that you're progressively set apart from it, but there is no deliverance of it. In fact, you may experience it in different ways for the rest of your life, but progressive change is what the Bible is all about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Could you just, excuse me, just for 1 minute, I want to be amazing for a moment. Jimmy, the yeah. Transform podcast, dude, the blood, sweat, and tears you put into that brilliant work. You're incredible, dude.
It's too late, Todd.
All right, here's what I'm wondering. If
if being needy is desiring the praise of men, I'm wondering about conversely, another type of person who never says a flattering thing, never gives a compliment, an encouraging word. What's going on in that heart?
That heart is equally functioning. First of all, it's not like that heart is failing to function. When a person is failing to consider others and say, you know what, a word of appreciation or telling my spouse I love them right now or telling my child good job, that heart is going to be something maybe concerned with their own comfort, or they're not taking the additional steps to care for other people. They're doing what's easy to them. And that heart may be perfectly at peace with not receiving any praise from anyone, but they're letting their own comforts begin to be what they're driven by. So it's uncomfortable to say, you know what? You did a really good job on that. You know what? Thank you for that. So that heart has to start to say, well, in the end, I may actually have to do things that are uncomfortable for me, like telling people how much I appreciate them, or telling my spouse I love them, or doubling back with my kids and reminding them of the good job that they're doing. Something along that. Now, does that mean that every heart is motivated by comfort that is expressing itself in a lack of respect or kind words? No. But if you give in to what's natural to you, most likely it's your own comfort.
What about fear of man? I'm thinking, I don't want to say something good about you, because that could mean that you're better than me and I think I'm better than you. Something like that. Or pride.
I was about to say, or pride of not wanting to acknowledge that you are good and that you're doing something great, or that I'm thankful for you, because that might insinuate that you're better than me.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that.
Yeah, I'm inferior, whatever it is.
Right. Which is why you need to speak somebody's love language.
Yeah, what's yours, Don?
I have no idea, Greg.
I'll speak it.
Not knowing what it is, let's keep you mum, if you don't mind. Somebody, actually, the other day, somebody asked about love languages. Sure. And his needs, her needs. I know Bill Harley, so that aside, he's a really nice man. He's a psychologist or psychiatrist. The basic premise is, figure out what your spouse really digs, do that, then she'll figure out what you really dig and she'll do that for you, and you will have mutual satisfaction. And my take on that is, that's not Christian. Christianity is, what do you need? How can I fill that need? How can I help, regardless of what I'm going to get back? Was my analysis of the love languages accurate?
I would add just one addition. And so,
because you have to win. Go ahead.
Yes. In the end, I do think it is inaccurate, because in the end, if I say I can only be spoken to in this way, otherwise I don't hear you, that is extremely problematic. And any long-term relationship is going to suffer when you say, you have to talk to me in this way, and that's the only way I can receive communication. David Pallison said, biblical love is multilingual. I learn how to speak to you. I learn how to speak to others. I learn how to receive love from you. I learn how to receive love from others. So in that way, yeah, if I'm saying you have to talk to me this way, agreed, not Christian, wrong, unbiblical, and it actually turns into demands, which, as Ken Sandy would say, escalates to me punishing you if you don't do what I wanted you to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's James 4.
James 4, yeah, all the way.
Sliding down. Mr. Peacemaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper?
I don't know. How would you define peacekeeper?
You're asking me? You know the answer. Peacekeeper is somebody who will just, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm going to keep the peace, because I know she's going to blow up if I bring up the way she parks the car in the garage. So I'll just let it be. Okay. A peacemaker says, no, I'm going to dive in and it might get, you know, a little, we're going to have to work through that, but we're going to make peace.
Got it. So I understand.
Didn't you read his book? It's a really good book.
I thought it was Peace Faker. So when we say peace faker, that's what I'm hearing you say here. So that's not making peace at all. It's brushing it under the rug.
Right.
And oftentimes it's motivated by, I worship peace, not Jesus Christ, and I'll do anything to keep peace, instead of seeing this as, I need to please the Lord. And at times, temporarily, other people may not appreciate the fact that I spoke the truth in a gracious and loving way, and yet I still honored Christ.
Right. So it's idolatry.
idolatry of peace.
Wow.
And then you don't even get peace in the end. You get more relational tumult.
There's the irony. If you don't do it right with the right motivation, you're not going to get the very thing that you seek.
That's right.
Which is actual peace. That's irony right there. Perhaps you can smell it wafting through. Dr. Greg Giffert, he's not the smell wafting through. Although it's been a pretty long day for you.
It might be me, son. Actually.
Yeah, it could be a little bit, both of us. Dr. Greg Giffert, he is the host of the Transform TV show. We are in the process of actually shooting season 3, if you haven't seen seasons 1 and 2, and considered availing yourself of the Sunday School Guide. It's an outstanding resource. And don't forget about that podcast where we cover subjects like help, I'm stuck, transformation of your words, listening to understand, keeping current, and so much more. We'll begin tackling all of those next with Dr. Giffert on Wretched Radio.